would bless, sanctify his word. I did pray about some doctrinal truth to present, and the Lord never gave me any satisfaction on that subject. Rather, he brought to my mind something he had given me sometime in November. So what I'm going to attempt to present to you this afternoon is going to be an overlap of what we heard this morning. Amen. Oh, pray the Lord will bless us to touch on the things that will be a blessing and an edification to all. I'd like for you to turn with me to the 55th chapter of the book of Isaiah. I'm going to read verses 6 through 9. Yes, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way,
and the unrighteous man his thoughts.
Let him return unto the Lord. He will have mercy upon him,
and to our God,
for he will abundantly pardon.
My thoughts are not your thoughts.
Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord.
As the heavens are higher than the earth,
so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is a very inspirational, and it's also a very common group of texts that if we just focus on one of them, it'd be very difficult to come to a place where we feel like we've really covered the area. But the scripture in the sixth verse of this chapter tells us to seek the Lord while he may be found.
Yes.
It's very, very important and critical to everyone that recognizes they have a need, whether they are saved or unsaved. If we do not seek the Lord while he is near, while he is dealing with our heart, convicting us, causing the manifestation of his light, scripture in Ephesians, we heard quite a bit about light today, whatsoever doth make manifest is light. When God makes manifest to us, that's when he expects us to do something about whatever the matter is that he's brought before us. Whatsoever makes manifest. God knows how to make things crystal clear to us. And one sister said, God knows how to talk to us and get our undivided attention. And very especially when the Lord has touched on that subject a number of times, and we may feel like at the moment, well, actually there's something a little bit more critical in my life that I need to address than that. But you know, it's far better for us to move in God's order and plan and do it and move and allow him to prick our hearts, allow him to open up our understanding to us in matters that we have not seen as clearly in time past. When God says it's the time, it's the right time. There's no more convenient time than the time that God puts his hand on something in our life and calls us to realize, I have a remedy for it and I want you to do something about it.
Yes.
And no excuse that we can give will salve and cause a balm to come over our hearts, our minds. But whatever the situation is, it can only get worse. And so it behooves us by God's grace and mercy to choose the time that God chooses, because we'll be able to get the greatest blessing and wealth to our soul when we move in the divine order of God. So we must seek the Lord while he may be found. This lets us know that even though God may be striving with us today, that doesn't mean that that's going to be a condition that exists all the way through the remainder of our life. There are many people that have filled a Christless grave because they did not seek the Lord while God could be found.
That's right. That's true.
It's a fearful thing to think that I passed the last opportunity that God was going to give to me. The problem is that we don't recognize and know sometimes this is the last time. And John, the revelator, in speaking in the Johns in the back of the Bible, he said, little children, this is the last time. This is the last opportunity that I'm going to have to speak to you personally about the matters that are burdening my soul concerning your relationship with God.
Yes.
This is the last time. I won't always be here, is what he's saying. I won't always be here, and God will not always burden us or burden through his Spirit the voice that calls our souls to repent.
Yes.
There's a voice that the Lord has that he speaks to every precious soul, and it's the word of the Lord and the power of his Holy Spirit. It doesn't matter what instrument God uses. It doesn't matter who that individual may be, but God uses the voice of that individual that he calls upon to speak his word of truth, to stir us, to shake us, and cause us to come to the sense of our need of God. I believe all of us recognize we have needs. I believe we all know we have needs before God. I don't believe there's anyone that feels like they have apprehended everything that we're apprehended by. All the things that God has opened into our heart. No doubt we've made efforts, and no doubt that we have made some moves toward God. Perhaps the Lord did bless us and touch us. And then oftentimes we're so surprised when God touches us on the very same line in a very short period of time. Well, I got that taken care of. And so oftentimes we like to think, well, this is just the devil accusing me. Well, sometimes that is the case. But no, that's the one place that we need to be very, very, very sure that the enemy isn't trying to limit our ability to get the depths of the need satisfied in our soul. And so as God manifests himself, and as God affords us time and opportunity, we don't want to allow the enemy to snatch from us the very thing that is going to mean the difference between heaven and hell. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Then you must call upon him while he's near. How is it that we know that God is near? I don't think there is any of us here that don't recognize a nearness of God from special times in our experience. Maybe you were at the camp meeting in Monarch. Maybe you were in your own personal devotion and you knew God was talking to your heart. Maybe you got a good, strong admonition and rebuke. However it was, maybe you were sitting right in these pews. Maybe you were down on your knees in prayer and God began to talk to your heart. And you begin to know of a certainty that that very thing that I thought that was clear before the Lord, the very thing that I thought I'd done everything I knew, you know, the things that we know and the things that God knows are two different things. God doesn't see us like we see ourselves. And that's a blessing. If we saw ourselves the way God sees us, oftentimes we would not see that we actually can find a remedy to our problem. Because sometimes it's so overwhelming when God shows us something. And oftentimes we ask him to show us, Lord, I want you to show me me.
Yes.
I want you to show me about myself. I want you to help me to see what it is about me that causes me to be lacking in the depths of satisfaction in my soul between you and me. I want to know what it is.
Yes.
And we do want to know what it is to a very certain extent.
Yes.
But most of the time we're only prepared to make certain sacrifices. There are limitations to our desire to truly abandon ourselves to God like he desires. We work at it for many years. Lord, let me lose myself and find it in you.
Yes.
Oftentimes we don't understand exactly what we're asking. I'm not quite sure, Lord, what it means, but I really feel good about myself after I prayed for myself today. I really feel good about myself. And then along comes something along the very same line, and we don't feel so good about ourselves. That really doesn't mean that God didn't bless us the last time we prayed for it. It just means we haven't dug deep enough.
Yes.
If the Lord required of us to dig down to the depth of ourselves At the very first day we got sanctified, we wouldn't go very far. Because our comprehension does not take in ourself like we think it takes in. I don't know anyone that knows us like God does.
That's right.
Nobody knows you like God knows you.
That's right.
And I've heard someone, an older sister, testify, and she said, as much as I know myself, then she would go on to say, God's blessings. I believe this is true about myself. Recognizing there's limitations as to how much I know myself, and there's limitations how much I want to know of myself at certain times and periods in my experience. I know you've experienced this before, and we'll probably have more experiences than that before God gets finished with us. But isn't it a blessing before God that He knows our down, sitting, uprising? He knows our thoughts way off. He knows them before they're fully conceived. Sometimes He allows us to go through that pensive period in our life. We're thinking very deeply about some things. And while you're thinking about those very things, the enemy will bring up to you somebody else that we feel like needs the same thing. And what do you know? They need it worse than I do. God help us. You know, that's a fight that we have before God. We all have definite needs before the Lord. We all seek the Lord with a heart and a desire to please the Lord. But we don't always make the mark. But God help us. Encourage us. Never to ever lose the desire to seek for the perfection that's in God and God alone.
Yes.
Seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Probably most everyone here this afternoon is saved and living for the Lord. But we don't know that. We don't know a man's heart.
Sure.
We don't know where everybody is.
That's true.
God knows. And He knows how many times He has manifested Himself to you and you pushed Him off.
True.
That's true.
He knows how often you did it. He knows the kind of attitude you had.
Yes.
He knows at the very time that you were at the peak of saying and doing something that would have damaged a little bit more your ability to fear God. He knows right at that time the Lord stepped in to try to curb some of that rebellion and stubbornness.
Yes.
God is good like that.
Yes.
He's very, very good to step in at a time when we need something so very, very special that we can't even tell anybody about it.
Yes.
And so that individual that's still not saved. Seek Him while He may be found. Call on Him while He's near. There are too many scriptures in the Word of God, the first chapter of Proverbs and many others, that let us know about that soul that called in earnest for God to have mercy upon him, but it was too late. It was one day too late. It was 1 hour too late.
Yes.
So please, take very seriously the matter of your soul. Take it real, real serious. There's a timeline involved as to what you can receive from God, and you can't choose it. God knows the best time. He knows how to give us what we need, when we need it, and He knows the amount to give us that our faith will take it all in. You see, the things that we ask for most of the time, we really don't have all the faith that we need to receive all that we desire. But God will give us the portion that we need to stay victorious over the enemy, to resist the devil, to fight the good fight of faith. But when the Lord appears again, don't try to ward it off like you don't need any more. We'll have a need before God when the same day we press a dying pillow. We'll have a need that we need to take care of before the Lord. So we need to keep our heart open all the time. Seek him while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. The Lord is nigh unto them that have a broken heart. Save as such as be of a contrite spirit. That's when God is near. God is always there. God is everywhere.
Yes, that's true.
He's always present. In your darkest and gloomiest times, God is always there. He's there. We don't always acknowledge his presence. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. Sometimes we're in an emotional upheaval in our life, and we just really don't acknowledge God as we ought to. And he understands. He'll be back. But you better be attentive this next time. He better be attentive next time. God help us. Seems like I have been through some emotional upheavals that I never thought I was capable of, probably the last couple of years. But the Lord knows.
Yes, he does.
That doesn't excuse me from seeking the Lord and to keep my relationship with him what it ought to be. It's no excuse. It's just that God has mercy on us during those times. And I thank God for it. We don't know all our capabilities or our incapabilities. We just don't know them.
That's right.
Sometimes you think you know yourself pretty well, and you find out, yes, I didn't. I guess I didn't. We always want to think the very, very best of ourselves. I think that's human nature. We want to think the very, very best of ourselves. God help us. And we rarely want to see the very worst of ourselves. God help us. Isn't it good that the Lord just gives it out in small portions so we can deal with it in a way that we can still feel like we're reasonably sane? All right, let me go on a little more. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Appreciate those that young men that sought the altar, sought the Lord at the altar. That's wonderful. When God touches you, you know you need to move.
That's true.
Sometimes you think you can go home and pray, but you will not have the same utterance of prayer.
That's true.
When God it gets your attention and you know it's God. You know it's not the devil accusing you. You know it's the Lord drawing you by his spirit. Folks, that's a good time to pray.
Yeah, that's right.
So God help us to do that all the time.
Amen.
You may not be somewhere where there's an altar. You may not be somewhere where there's a minister to pray for you. But when God presses that little button, that buzzer, you know you need to move. You need to fall on your knees before God. Because God is nigh unto them that have a broken heart.
Yes.
Sometimes you can see yourself in a way you never saw yourself. There's nobody around. And sometimes the circumstances are such that it's so private and personal with you and God that you just tell God.
Yes.
And you just believe that God is able to take care of every need. God help us. I know the scripture says to confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. But there's some private and personal things that you don't even know how to express to people. But you can talk to God about them.
That's true.
The important thing is that we keep that personal relationship with God fresh and current at all times.
Yeah.
Now, you can't judge anybody else's experience, how current they are. You can't make that judgment. But God will give you ability to judge whether you are.
Yeah.
An individual realizes and knows when they're getting on background. They know it.
That's right.
They know there's a great conflict going on. And they know they have choices to make or remake or enunciate in their lives.
True. That's very true.
So our personal honesty between us and God have everything to do with how well we handle our personal relationship with the Lord.
Yes.
So, God help us. Seek him while you may be found. He may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way. A wicked man Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Well, the fact of the matter is, a wicked man pursues the path of wickedness beginning with an inception of a thought. The unrighteous man begins a path of unrighteousness with the inception of a thought. That's how it always comes. That's why it always comes. The enemy appeals to our mind, hoping it will rationalize whatever it is, not seek the Lord. Now, Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, help me. God, help us. People that go around asking, how do you see me? They've seen something. They've seen something. And they've seen something about themselves.
Right.
How do you see me? How do you see me on this line? How do you see me? God, help us. God has shown you something. And you really oftentimes are looking for somebody to salve your conscience.
Yeah.
How do you see me? How do you see me now? Search me, O Lord. Know my heart. Search me. Lord, you search me. As much as God's people wish us well, they can't search our heart. God help us now. Now the word of God gets very, 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 very close to many things in our life. It's meant to do that. It divides asunder between the joint and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. God's word will do that. God's word goes in a direction sometimes that's not even the burden of the message.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what the word of God does. The Holy Ghost takes it and guides that word and takes it right to that sensitive place that we need. So sometimes a message is preached and is preached to the unsaved. And you know who responds to it? Most of the time, who responds? Sensitive saints. God help us. The burden of the message is for the lost. But when a saint of God means heaven at any cost, and God deals with their heart, they are certain that they, rather putting it this way, they want to make very, very sure that they haven't left anything undone. I remember when I was a younger person, and I went to the altar one time, and it was the pastor's wife that came and dealt with me. And I presented my burden and my cause why I came to the altar. And they let me know they felt like I was suffering from an accusation. And so I appreciated it, but it was hard to let go that that's what was happening. It was hard to let it go. And then someone else came to me. I prayed, and they prayed for me, and I appreciated it. And someone else came to me, and they said, I saw you went to the altar. I said, yes. Well, you know that message was for this one or that one. What the pastor was addressing was this case. You see, they knew some inside things that I didn't know. Well, you know what? It really doesn't matter. It's the Holy Ghost that convicts us and touches us and causes us to know that we need to seek the Lord.
Yes.
And we may not always know exactly what we're dealing with, but the Lord knows how to have the things said to us, and he knows how to talk to us in our private times to help us to get exactly what we need.
Amen.
But we have to make the start. We have to show the interest in our own soul. We can't sit back and wait for the Lord to come along with a hammer, so to speak. There are times when God deals with people like he did Paul. Most of the time, God doesn't deal with us like that. Most of the time, it's just that still small voice. It's not a light shining that is above the brightness of the noonday sun. Sometimes it's just a little small something that the Lord wants us to take note to. So that means we have to cultivate a sensitivity about our own relationship with the Lord. God help us, and the Lord encourage us along that way. That's why the scripture says to work out your own salvation with fear and with trembling. Fear the Lord. Fear him with all your heart. Don't ever take anything for granted. Don't ever take for granted that since the Lord is blessing you on one line, he's not going to deal with you on other lines. Because he is going to deal with us in ways that sometimes we didn't even recognize the depth of the need there. So let us trust the moving of the Holy Spirit. Let's trust his wisdom. He has a wisdom that we don't comprehend altogether. But we can comprehend his personal dealings with us. All right? Let the wicked forsake his way. Let wicked man incept it. A thought that took him further and further and further and further away from God. He may have had an experience before, and sometimes he didn't have much of an experience at all. Maybe he sought the Lord, and maybe he got a little something, but he was not truly godly sincere. And so when temptation came along, he just said, it just doesn't work for me. It doesn't work. I know what you all say works. Yeah, but it doesn't work for me. But it does work. It works all the time. We just have to let the Lord have his way in our lives. And so that individual uses that as an experience, as an excuse to go out and toy with some sinful things that they wouldn't have dreamed of in time past. And they get so involved in it, and they begin to justify the wrong of it to the extent that all you can do is call them wicked. The things they say, the things they do, the attitude they display, they don't seem to appreciate reproof and admonition. They turn it aside, shrug the shoulders, and they continue to go on. That individual has conditioned themselves to a way of dealing with truth. Sometimes they justify themselves, and sometimes they choose somebody that they know is not truly sincere in all they say about the Lord. Sometimes they see them out at some of the same places that they go to. And they point the finger at them and make a blanket statement regarding all God's people. But you know, that's no justification. Living for God and not living for God is an individual matter. No one is at fault when you backslide but you.
That is true.
And nobody can get the blessing of your getting saved and staying saved more than you. Others will be blessed, no question about it. I remember when we were coming along, there was somebody there in a meeting. They were an older person, and they surprisingly, even though the saints were praying for them, sometimes you can be surprised. They went to the altar, got saved, and I remember someone saying, we got us a big fish today. A big fish. We went fishing, and we got a big fish. But you know, the way it is with God, that person very likely just made it in time. The older we get, the more an individual gets set in his ways, and the more their perception of life fluctuates, and they just don't see things like they did at one time.
That's true.
And you get an individual that's unsaved and unrighteous at the same time. To the extent that they begin to color the truth. You know, you want to be real, real careful about truth and what you do with it.
That's true.
You're a steward.
That's right.
You're a steward over every bit of truth that God has revealed to your heart or caused you to be exposed to. We're a steward with God's truth. We're a steward with mercy. We're stewards. Whatever God gives us, he wants us to do something with it. He wants us to do what he would do with it. So God help us. But that individual begins to think in terms of, well, let me put it this way. An individual that is unrighteous is unjust. We have a scripture in the 18th chapter of the book of Luke that talks about an unjust judge. A judge that has no sense or very little sense of justice. How would you like to stand before a judge that had no sense of justice? That woman did, and she importuned before God and got justice. There's something about prayer that causes God to be able to move on people whose character is bent toward unrighteousness and cause them to give justice to causes that are God's cause.
Amen.
So that's why we can never underestimate the power of prayer.
Never.
Now, the scripture speaks about, there's many definitions of wickedness. Someone that knows they're grossly wrong, they know it. They have an understanding of it. Yet they continue to go deeper and deeper. There's an individual that is unrighteous, and they have lost their sense of justice. The spirit of Antichrist not only is not seeking for just and right, what they do and say tends toward deception, to deceive. And so it is, that's one of the most difficult individuals for you to deal with is an unrighteous person. God help us. How is it? A person that's a sinner, they know they're a sinner. They acknowledge they're a sinner. Sometimes they almost rub it in your face. God help us. But they acknowledge being a sinner. An unrighteous man usually won't acknowledge that he's unrighteous. God help us. And it's not easy to deal with a person that's just in their own eyes. Ye are they that justify yourselves before men, but God knows your heart. Just like the Pharisees. You're very apt at justifying yourself, but you don't have any justice for other people. God help us. So it is. Unrighteousness tends toward deception and injustice in our judgment. May God help us. And as I say, the spirit of Antichrist is very skilled at it. That's why it behooves us, once we picked up that something is out of the order of God, that we get a burden of prayer for it and look to God to do something special for it. But be aware that it really doesn't matter what the condition of the individual is. There's something about God's people having agreement in prayer can uproot things that you did not perceive was possible. God's able to do that. All right? Let the wicked forsake his way. He has ways. He has learned ways. He has pet ways. He is stubborn and rebellion in his heart. And he needs to forsake those ways. A man can actually repent and ask the Lord to forgive them and not go all the way and let God deal with their ways. After we get set in ways, now, I realize there's some things, it's like an individual that gets saved when they're old. It's very possible for an individual to stay saved and to be encouraged to go for the Lord. But there are some things they may never learn in their old age. Some things I've seen some people, and no doubt you have too, that got saved and never could. They were older in their age and never could fully trust the Lord for everything, for the healing of their body. Then I met an individual that got saved in their old age and trusted the Lord all the way through, and they had never known anything about trusting the Lord. We can't fathom those things. There are some things that are between God and that individual, and we have to allow the Lord to work and have his way with them. God has a divine purpose for everything that he allows to come our way, and we need to know how to let the Lord have his way. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Sometimes the unrighteous man at one time had an experience with God. One time in their life, they may have known the Lord. However, God allowed some things to happen in their life. Things that were very sensitive to them.
Yes.
And they did not allow the Lord to purge and chasten them about those things. And they went back on God and blamed God's people.
Yes.
And then you have the same individuals going along, not satisfied when somebody tries to live saved. They're right there teaching and encouraging them the things that they don't have to do to stay saved. God help us. That type of a spirit is damaging and a danger to any group of people. God help us. The unrighteous man, a man that seems to know a little something about righteousness, but he hasn't really made the sacrifice to live the kind of life that God is pleased with.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, as they went on, there was iniquity, a seed of iniquity that was embedded in their heart. And that work that is kind of insidious, undercurrent type of a thing working in an individual's heart and in their mind causes them to use methods of deceit to get across the things that they desire. And so let the wicked forsake his way. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. There's a forsaking that must take place in either individual. Now, oftentimes God presents, so to speak, a worst-case scenario to us. That's a bad, bad man, and that's a bad, bad woman. But don't you know, if that individual seeks the Lord with all their heart,
yes,
the Scripture makes it very plain that God will pardon them, abundantly pardon them, and he'll have mercy upon them.
Yes.
That's the kind of power and grace that God has when an individual is willing to acknowledge their need before the Lord, acknowledge they need God in a way they've never needed him,
yes,
when they actually acknowledge how wrong they were, and God can take them back to the place where they started getting off in the first place. There's very few people that actually do that. But God has the grace for everyone that's willing to acknowledge their need of him. He has the ability to clean them up and clear them up, to pardon them, and to set them on a plain path and cause them to have a life of victory for the rest of their experience if they'll continue to walk with God. The unrighteous man. Again, he may have known the Lord at one time. It may have been a blessing. And the fact that he was a blessing has left some influence that he has with others. Some people with a spirit of discernment can pick up something right away. Then some people that perhaps are not as mature spiritually can't pick up some things. And the first thing that we would like to do is to shield them And most of the time, we can. Most of the time, the Holy Ghost will shield a person from knowing something that they can't handle.
Yes, that's true.
So it is. God in his mercy will cause everyone that's endeavoring to please the Lord and to see his face in peace. God has a place for them in him where he can take them through every situation of life. I'm thinking also of the fact that there are many people that allow the Lord to work in them to the extent that God can actually entrust them with confidence in their lives again. I say there are very few, but I want you to know that God's power and his might and his mercy and his ability to pardon and the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse an individual through and through.
Yes.
To the degree that the person that we thought we knew, we just don't know them anymore as they let the Lord work in their lives. They can be a wicked person, can be the most wicked person that you ever thought ever lived, but God can work wonders for that individual. I'm sure everyone in the neighborhood thought the prodigal son was one of the most wicked sons that they ever saw, but God brought about a change in their life. And so we can, again, never underestimate God's power to bring about radical changes in the life of any soul. So let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. It was thoughts that got him in trouble in the first place. Uncensored thoughts. God help us and encourage us so that we'll be able to allow the Lord to touch those places in our life that he needs to cause us to stay on the right way. Let him return unto the Lord and to our God. He'll have mercy upon him. He'll abundantly pardon. And then he goes into, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. I had some of the same thoughts this morning. They were brought out quite well. We won't go over all of them. And I was thinking about how God does things. 11th chapter of Romans, the 33rd verse says that many of the ways that God does things are really past our finding out. We'd like to know, but some of those things are secret. Secret to God. There are some secret things that God reveals, and there's some secret things that we'll never know until we leave this old earthbound body and go and be with the Lord.
Yes.
Many things we'll know then. I remember being asked by someone. They were very close to heaven at the time. They wanted to know the things that I want to know that are bothering me. Will I know them right away? Will I know them right away? I really don't know how that works in heaven. I know this song says, when all that seems so mysterious shall be bright and as clear as the sun. If that song is correct to the extent that we can know the things that are troubling us, then we will know them just immediately. I told them yes, and I trust it was a correct answer. That was the answer the Lord put on my heart to give them. Said, yes, you'll know those things. You know what you need to know when the Lord takes you to be with him. You'll be as one of the angels, and you have a knowledge, and you have a clarity of understanding that you don't have now. And so, I trust they know it now.
Yes.
And sometimes we wouldn't mind changing places with people. But God has his time for us here. And by his grace, we want to use it wisely. My thoughts are not your thoughts. How many thoughts have we had? How many thoughts have we had when we found out it really wasn't like that? What is it that causes us to think that our thoughts are the same as God's thoughts? One of the things that we can consider, that sometimes we are so self-conscious about ourselves that we don't realize that what God wants is for us to be God-conscious and Christ-conscious. We're so self-conscious that we really don't see things as they are. Your thoughts are not my thoughts. That's not just to the wicked and the unrighteous man, certainly to them. But sometimes our thoughts don't always align themselves with God's thoughts. And the Lord is so gracious and kind to correct us and cause us to realize that place between you and Him, where He talks with you and deals with you, and you feel like you know exactly how a matter is, make certain that you go over it with Him a few more times. Make sure that you go over it with the Lord. There are some situations of life that appear to be very, 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 very easy to judge, except when it pertains to you. So God help us. Those things you find yourself going over, Lord, I want to make sure. I want to make sure this is how it is.
Yeah.
There are times in our experience that there are some matters that are so emotionally close to us that we really need to be very sure. Be very sure, the song says.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we need to be very sure about God's dealings regarding that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And so we go back over it again. Lord, I know what you said, but Lord, I want you to bear witness to me again, because I don't want to be wrong about this. I want to do it the right kind of way. I want to have the right kind of spirit and attitude toward this matter. And God will be gracious enough to help us along the way. And Lord, anywhere that you see that I'm wrong and I'm not seeing this correctly, Lord, I want you to admonish me and rebuke me. I want you to tell me. I want you to tell me about myself. It's not the most pleasant thing, oftentimes, to find out the things that we find out about ourselves. But wouldn't it be far better to find out on this side of eternity instead of on the other side?
Yes.
My thoughts aren't your thoughts. The thoughts and the ruminations you have regarding things that you feel like you're very familiar with, there's always something a little bit more precise that God knows.
Yes.
There's always something. There's always some knowledge and understanding that God doesn't always show us everything. God shows us what we need to know to address the situations of life that we're facing. Anything else, we need to learn how to commit to God before we make our judgments. It's not easy to do sometimes, especially when you think you're very familiar with the situation. But God help us. We're no more familiar than God is. My thoughts are not your thoughts. The scripture that was read this morning is on my heart. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, the 10th chapter, the 5th verse. God has to work with us and deal with us and help us to realize that some of our thoughts we have exalted above His knowledge. And as saints of God, with nothing intentional, it wasn't something that we set out to do, but then we discover that we have elevated something that is not sound, solid truth, and God has to make a correction there. All right, my thoughts are not your thoughts. God seeth not as man seeth. He just never has seen the way we see. We can tap into God's mind if we seek to have the mind of God. And if we ask the Lord to teach us how to be more conscious of him than to be conscious of ourselves. That is a snare that we sometimes find ourselves in. Self-conscious, a little bit too self-conscious. And sometimes we can't see it, but others can see it. God help us. All right, reading on just a little bit more. Okay, Psalm 77 division in the 13th verse. Neither are your ways my ways. Yes.
Is in the sanctuary.
Yes.
Who is so great a God as our God?
Read Ezekiel 11:16.
Therefore say, you say Ezekiel chapter 11, verse
yes.
16. Therefore say,
yes.
Thus saith the Lord God.
Amen.
Although I have cast him far off among the heathen,
amen.
And although I have scattered him among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come.
Yes. That means that God has a very private, personal place to meet us, no matter where we live, where we are, no matter where we are spiritually. If it's so, we feel like we really don't have everything that we need to be able to face the trials and temptations of life, God will show us that place.
Yes.
He is so kind and so understanding and so gracious about who you are. He knows who you are, but he would like far better for us to seek to know who he really is.
Yes.
We misjudge God far too many times. We misjudge God to the extent, I don't know how we do this. I guess it's just human nature. I don't know how we have it in our mind that God always thinks the way we think. That we can be so sure and certain about something, and we don't leave any room for error. God help us. When I say room for error, God knows that we're going to make some mistakes sometimes. God also knows how we handle those mistakes and how we deal with them. Set a pattern for how we face other things in life. Don't be so terribly disappointed when you face something and you don't always have the right answer. God help us. God has the right answer all the time. His righteousness does not change. Now, the way God goes about to bring about his expected end, because the thoughts he has toward us are thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring us to an expected end, the way God does it may not be the way you would choose to do it. But that leverage we need to leave to God to do the way he desires. Most of all, God would have us to cultivate such a relationship with him that in every season and hour of our life, we know he has provided a place for us to meet with him on his terms, where he's willing to talk with us. He's willing to explain to us. He's willing to take whatever time it takes to bring us to the place we can align ourselves with the perfect will of God.
Yeah.
There definitely is a blessed pavilion that we can go into.
That's true.
There is a hiding place for us if we will allow the Lord. It's special. It's just yours and his. You don't have to share it with anybody else. God has a special place for us.
That's true.
when we can get close to him and he can talk to us and he can talk to us in our language. But we have to have ears to hear. And we're willing to hear God's way. And we're willing to consider if some of our thoughts need adjustment sometime. Then we'll do well. We'll do well. God bless the reading of his word. Appreciate his mercy and goodness to me. I know you do too. I thank God for the hope that he gives us regarding the lost, regarding the wicked and the unrighteous. We can't afford to set any of them aside. God help us. We can't afford it. Somebody might look like a lost cause to you, but he doesn't look that way to God. So God help us to truly intercede in prayer for the hard cases that you may have in your family, the hard places, the hard situations that you're privy to. God, give us a greater burden. It seemed like, I really don't want you to. It seemed like that's where I'm left with all the thoughts that I have, is don't give them up. I don't care who it is. Don't give them up until God gives them up. Let the wicked forsake his way and unrighteous man his thoughts. There are plenty of them. And God wants us to be touched like he is. I realize a person can go beyond the reach of God's spirit because he's not going to always strive with them. The song said there's a line that is drawn by rejecting the Lord. Let us not continue to reject God's mercy and goodness. He'll have mercy upon us. He'll abundantly pardon us. And he'll also cause us to go on a route that will never go that way again by the grace of God. A person that is backslidden, oftentimes there is a vulnerability a backslidden person has where the enemy talks to them and they've listened so long, so many times, that they need special help and support from God and the prayers of God's people. Amen. Pray for me.